As colleges and universities across the country hold their graduations, I'd like to highlight a place where students receive the best classical liberal arts education in America. And when these students graduate, they've studied the great books, the history of Western civilization and of America, and the meaning and history of the Constitution. Can you guess who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Hillsdale College. Hillsdale was founded in 1844 to offer the kind of education needed to preserve civil and religious liberty, and holds true to that mission while refusing to accept one penny of taxpayer funding, not even indirectly, in the form of student grants and loans. Hillsdale students also abide by an honor code, which ensures a unity of purpose and fosters lively, civil, and intelligent debate. See for yourself and learn from Hillsdale for free through their influential Speech Digest in Primus and by taking online courses on American history, the Constitution, and other subjects. Find out more at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com. Join the battle over education for our country's future today.
As an IRS special agent, wants whistleblower protection. Talk about an investigation of Hunter Biden's taxes. What is the White House's message to employees who wonder if there should be political considerations when things affect the president's family?
So look, I want to be very clear here. As you know, the president respects the rule of law and the independence of the Department of Justice. He believes that's what they should be. In this administration, we believe that it should be independent. So I'm not going to go beyond that. The Department of Justice will certainly deal with this issue. Again, he believes in the rule of law. He believes in the independence of the Justice Department.
I don't know if I believe in rule of law anymore. I mean, there's so much that has been done lately to, I think, kind of make everybody sort of question that, especially with regard to the story that is coming out. We're actually going to talk to Jim Jordan about this later on today, because this is pretty significant in terms of the level of involvement, or the high up level of involvement, I should say, with this whole ongoing investigation of the Hunter Biden thing. I hate even saying this guy's name, because it's such a cringe ass story. And I'm not, you know why I get so mad? I come in here and I do this job every day. I love to do what I do. You guys are out there busting your butts, and we have a government that is dodging accountability and running defense for a cokehead because he happens to be the president's son. It's insane. So, welcome to Friday. It's a good thing that it's Friday. I tell you what. So there's two other ways to look at this. There's two other breakdowns of this too, because you have the IRS whistleblower, and then you have, let me pull this up, the FBI that went to NBC, which is, it seems kind of weird, right? Like why are they going to NBC? I think they're going to NBC so they can be like, oh, it's not us. We didn't do this. This is the IRS. This is them. That's what I honestly feel. I think that I don't know if that was them like speaking out for the greater good, or if it was just them covering their backside. That's honestly kind of how I feel about it. Welcome, like I said, to the show. Happy Friday. We're getting Friday started off like this because it's infuriating. You know, I have two stories of two dude Democrats who have such privilege that they were able to skate and still skate responsibility. And I wrote a piece on one of them yesterday. And then this, so you have the ex-acting CIA director said he's also the guy, Mike Morrell. Oh, he had 50 spies that signed a letter saying that Hunter Biden, that laptop was a scandal, not that it was a Russian disinformation thing. Now, you guys remember this, because there was this letter of 50 some odd intelligence officials who all came out and were all saying the same thing. Oh, my gosh, it's Russian disinformation, Russian disinformation. They sent this letter out, all decrying this. Oh, my gosh, it's Russian disinformation. You know, we can't buy into this. We're playing into Russia's hands. Do you remember being told that? I got hate mail for talking about this story on air. People were telling me you're just playing into Russia's hands with this because it's Russian disinformation. Some of the drive-bys told me that. It's like kind of like the same thing that NPR was saying. Remember where? Oh no, it's not. It's not really a story. It's a non-story. Yeah, listen to this. This is because Biden was asked about this. He was asked about the laptop. He was asked about the whole you know, the 10% for the big guy, you know, everything about the investigation, because there was already an investigation into this. Listen, this is flashback audio of Biden on this issue. Listen to this.
50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plant. They have said that this is has all the care. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage.
This is classic Trump. We have 4 days left, and all of a sudden there's a laptop. There's overwhelming evidence that from the intelligence community that the Russians are engaged.
I still think that the stories from the fall about your son Hunter were Russian disinformation at a smear campaign, like you said.
Yes. It's the last-ditch effort in this desperate campaign to smear me and my family. The vast majority of the intelligence people have come out and said,
see?
There's no basis at all.
Oh, yes, those is no basis at all. And now we know, actually, there was a basis, and they all lied about it. 50 intelligence agents lied about it. And Mike Morrell, former deputy director of the CIA, is one of the people who is talking about this, speaking out about it, I think just to save their own backside. It was the letter that they signed. It was called the public statement on the Hunter Biden emails. So now Morrell's throwing Blinken under the bus. They're all going to start throwing each other under the bus to save each other, to save their backsides. Morrell says it was Blinken's idea to get him, Morrell, and 50 of these other intel colleagues to sign this letter. It was all that was Anthony Blinken. And as a result, as a reward for that, Blinken was given the job of Secretary of State. That's what Mike Morrell is saying. The House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan is going to join us later on in the program. He had a press release that came out yesterday evening. He had sent a letter to Blinken demanding documents and communications related to the committee's investigation. Because, see, the emails on the laptop that's verified to be his laptop, those emails show that Joe Biden was not only well aware of Hunter's business dealings, but he was involved in those business dealings. They were protecting the Biden family company. I mean, now that I think about it, so we're okay. Kane, where was Joe Biden last week?
Oh gosh.
No, where did he go last week?
I don't know. Where did he go last week?
Was that
week?
Trip that he went on?
What is it? I'm not sure.
He went to Ireland.
Oh, that's right. He did go to Ireland. I don't care so much about what he
does.
Well,
no. Yeah, wait. Who did he take with him?
Oh, he took Hunter.
Mm-hmm. And his sister, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Does that sound weird to you now?
Yes,
when you realize the extent that his family was businessing out his elected positions, why the hell was his sister? Why was his cokehead kid going too? Hunter Biden doesn't serve the president in any kind of official capacity. Why was his cokehead kid, who's got videos of his flabby, flaccid, naked self all over the internet with hookers and blow, literally? Why was he taking his cokehead kid, who has made an embarrassment of their family, to Ireland along with Sissy Biden? I mean, it kind of makes you question the extent to which this family is involved in all of these business dealings. Were they cutting some deals in Ireland? I mean, I think it's completely worth asking, considering they were cutting deals everywhere else. And they have the entirety of the U.S. government covering for them. I mean, this is the deputy director of the CIA who's coming out saying this. And he's impugning the character and the professionalism and the ethics and probably the legal actions of the Secretary of State. Man alive. So they transcribed this interview with Morrell. He was, I think, it wasn't 50, it was like 51 signatories. And Morrell was like, yeah, they were telling us to do this. I mean, there really was something there. We just did it. So the committee chairs have asked for these documents. Not just from Anthony Blinken, but also the Biden family. They want some information. And I think that the family, I mean, so here's the other thing. Why in the world is Morrell talking about this now? Think about it. You have Anthony Blinken, who has been given the job of Secretary of State. He protected Hunter Biden's campaign. They came out with this letter so that Joe Biden could use it as a talking point, saying, look at all of these intel people. Look at all of this. It's totally fine. So they helped his campaign. The press went along with it. No one asked questions. It was the most uncurious time for the American press. NPR and everyone else. No. We're not gonna ask any questions. We're not gonna ask any questions about it. This is a non-story. I mean, literally, that's what NPR said. It's a non-story. Okay, so I'm just curious. Why is Morrell coming out now? That's the ultimate question that I have about all of this. Why now? Why is he coming out now? I mean, is there something else coming up in which he's implicated? I'm just curious. So this is one of the things. Oh, my gosh, I still have a lot more on this. I have a ton more. Because now that's just some of the stuff with the CIA and those whistleblowers. Now you have the IRS and the FBI agents that were looking at Hunter Biden on tax and weapons charges. So NBC has this story out that it says federal prosecutors have considered four possible charges against Hunter Biden. This ran yesterday evening. Okay, they're considering four charges. Here's one of the big takeaways that I got from this NBC piece, is that they think it's a long time coming for these charges. That is something else. They think it's a long time coming for these charges, because apparently the case was, all of the investigation, everything was submitted a year ago. It would be the charges, apparently, according to NBC, include three tax crimes and a charge related to his gun purchase. That could be a potential felony if the charge is falsifying the information on a 4473. And a quick recap on that, if you're wondering what that's related to, he bought a gun, filled out a 4473. One of the questions on the form that you fill out when you go and you purchase a firearm is, are you a drug addict? Do you take drugs? Are you under the influence of prohibited, whatever. That's an actual question on the 4473. The same time that he bought that gun was literally in his own book is the same time that he said he was coked out of his mind. I mean, the exact same time period that he went to buy a gun is the same time period in his memoir that he talks about doing a ton of crack and coke. So he lied on his form. That's a felony. And if you have the ATF out there busting FFLs for simple grammatical errors, are you telling me that you're going to overlook this guy lying on a form to buy a gun when he's a prohibited possessor because he won't stop doing crazy amounts of drugs? I mean, that's the way the law is. Is it equally applied or not? And the only reason he hasn't been charged is because he's Joe Biden's son. It's the only reason. You know, the other privilege that's out there, I wrote a quick piece about this and we'll talk about this later. The charges were dropped against Alec Baldwin for shooting and killing his cinematographer on the set of Rust, his film, which, by the way, is resumed shooting, no pun intended. They dropped charges against Baldwin for killing cinematographer Helena Hutchins on the set of his film Rust in 2021. The armorer, this is what I think is interesting, Hannah Gutierrez Reed, who he was reportedly as executive producer, not reportedly, if he's executive producer, this is his purview. He was responsible for hiring her and he was the set boss. She's still facing the same charges, even though he was the one that actually had the gun and pulled the trigger. Now, Hutchins' widow settled with Baldwin last year in a wrongful death case. Other members of the family, though, have filed a separate civil suit against him. So he accused me once, literally, of, quote, stepping over dead bodies. But you know what? Unlike Alec Baldwin, I've never shot and killed anybody. So how many dead bodies is he going to step over in order to pursue his acting career and to keep on living his life? I mean, that's the question. We have a lot to hit today. Like I said, we're going to have Jim Jordan later on in the program. We've got some Law and Order. We got a lot to hit, including this major story as it develops, too. I'm curious as to whether or not anything of this is going to be asked to Karine Jean-Pierre. We're also going to talk about some stupid stuff in the GOP primary, because I see a bunch of Republicans taking the media's bait and everyone is literally trying to go to the left. And it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. And I just hate everything today. And I want to burn it all down. Let's all just have a good, fun Friday, shall we?
Kel-Tec launched into 2023 this year with a new addition to their lineup of innovative high-performance firearms. The new Kel-Tec P15 has broken the mold. Compact and maximum firepower generally don't go hand in hand. However, the P15 offers both in a uniquely small package. The P15 is an excellent choice for concealed carry. It offers plenty of dependable firepower to secure your world. This Striker fire pistol is the lightest, thinnest, double-stack 9mm handgun on the market. At only 14 ounces, 7/8 inches wide, and a 4-inch barrel, you could say mini, but mighty. The double-stack magazine holds 15 plus 1 total capacity. That's standard. All Kel-Tec firearms are made in the USA and come with a lifetime warranty as the original owner with proof of purchase. Sign up for the Kel-Tec Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories. The P15 is an excellent choice if you're looking for concealed carry. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Secure your world with Kel-Tec.
How much is the mainstream media in cahoots with the Biden administration? Since when did the media care so much about catching leakers? Is that their job? Should they be asking more questions instead of being another wing of the White House? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Joe Biden is expected next Tuesday to announce that he's running for re-election. It's expected that it's going to take place via video, and it's going to coincide with the four-year anniversary of when he launched his 2020 bid. I know you're all excited about that. By the way, our friend Larry notes that Joe Biden is basically, he's going back to Camp David at 4 o'clock. Yeah, that's it. I mean, he's going back. There he is. He's, you know, I mean, it must be nice to, you know, call a lid like in the middle of your work day, really. So he's going to be announcing on Tuesday, just so you know. Russia has launched an ad campaign trying to get, quote unquote, real men to fight in Ukraine. I guess they went through all their other men. I don't know. Like where?
There's only fake men.
There's only fake men left. I don't know. I'm just wondering. Home sales have dived. Yeah. Here we go. It's Friday. 22% drop year over year. This comes by way of CNBC. They said a sale of previously owned homes declined 2.4% in March compared with February, according to the National Association of Realtors. They said that the weakness is likely due to a sharp jump in mortgage interest rates. It's going to get worse, guys, especially when you have to pay more to pay for everyone else's stuff because they're high-risk buyers, because that's the way that our government wants to reward people. It's asinine. I feel like I'm living in an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and those people are running the government. Whole Foods has announced plans to fire hundreds in its corporate office. Huh, look at that. I mean, you kind of expect it. So coming up, we're going to talk about Democrats, GOP, law and order. Stay with us. Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
I also want to say a word about the decision yesterday made by the Florida Board of Education to expand the state's dystopian Don't Say Gay law.
She said that word right. I was wondering.
As this measure takes effect, it will prohibit all students up to seniors in high school from learning about or discussing LGBTQI+ people in the classrooms. Teachers in Florida have already faced the devastating consequences of the existing law. Under threat of having their licenses revoked, gay teachers have been forced to take down pictures of their spouses from their desks.
That's not even accurate. That's such a lie.
Censoring our classrooms.
There were actual gay teachers on Twitter yesterday in Florida, like not anonymous accounts, and they were going, this is a lie. This is not even true. That's KJP, like I had to tell you. I'm Dana Lash. Welcome back to the show. If you don't have anything nice to say about anybody, come sit by us. We're the people to hang out with today. Happy Friday. Bottom of the first hour. First off, that's not even accurate. Has she ever been to Florida? And
Yeah, what teacher puts a picture of their spouse on their desk? I've never, in all of my years of schooling, Kane, I never saw that.
Me neither.
Where is this? What is this thing that Democrats are like, no, teachers, it's very important that you talk to kids about how you actually participate in the physical act of sex. It's very important. I mean, we don't think that you can feel seen and affirmed unless everyone knows what you do with your bits.
When I was growing up, I didn't know squat about the personal lives of my teachers.
I didn't think they existed outside of the classroom.
I didn't even know their first names for the longest time. It was Mr. or Mrs.
Do you know what's weird? Like, even when I would see my kid, okay, this is going to sound funny, but I don't know if this is like a Gen X thing or what, but remember when you were younger and you would see your teacher in the grocery store and you're like, what the hell are you doing here?
It was like weird.
Like, you buy food? Like, it was just weird. Like, you're not used to seeing them outside of the context of the classroom. And I got to be real with you. Like, it extends to even now. I see teachers, my kids' teachers outside of the classroom, and I'm like, I'll be dang, you're getting gas. Look at that. You know, it's just the weirdest thing. I don't know why, but it's just, when I was a kid, I never asked these questions. I didn't even know if my teachers were married. Right. I mean, I'm not sitting there. Little sixth grade Dana wasn't sitting there in class thinking, boy, I wonder if Mrs. Roper has sex. You know, I didn't think about that stuff. I didn't think about it, right? Those are not thoughts that cross my mind. One of my teachers was an older woman who literally looked like she stepped out of the 1950s with the glasses, with the pearl thing, the little, what are they have them on the ends, the little necklaces that are on the, and it hangs on her neck. Like, she was one of those teachers. She had an endless supply of whistles. She would be, whether it was in the hallway or the playground, I mean, and she wore the comfortable shoes. You know which one I'm talking about. Those weird kind of pudding beige color shoes that had like a faux cork sole. You know what I'm talking about.
Buster Brown.
Them shoes. That's what she wore. Her name was Mrs. Brunt. The only thing I knew about her, and I'm not saying this to be mean, this is just how kids are, is that when she kicked the bucket after we graduated, after we went to a different grade, after summer, you know, we went out, because she was, I think, Mrs. Thomas was my fourth grade teacher. Brunt, I think, was fifth. No, we were going to have her as a fifth grade teacher, and she kicked the bucket. And then everyone, no, hold up, because the rumor was going around in school that she had donated her body to science and she was going to be reanimated as a zombie. What? That's literally the stuff we talked about. We weren't like, I wonder if she had lots of sex before she died. Did the sex kill her? Is that how she died? We didn't talk about this stuff because we weren't weird, ridiculous people. We were kids. I don't know what is wrong with adults today. They act like they never met no kids. They act like they've never met a kid in their lives. Well, you know, it's perfectly understandable that a child is going to be sitting at their desk looking at their teacher and wondering, do you have a penis or a vagina? I mean, that's the kind of stuff that no one does that. They're all terrified about making sure they get their homework on time and hoping they don't get called on to go and write the difficult algebra problem on the chalkboard. That's what they're thinking about. I didn't even know. My teacher had a Jolly Rancher jar on her desk. And I just was wondering, I mean, it was a big thing when we found her Jolly Rancher stash. She asked us to go and get something in her desk. She was on the playground. And we went inside, me and my friend, we were tasked with this extraordinary mission. And we went inside the classroom, and she told us what drawer in the desk to look at. And you know that you couldn't even get in a teacher's desk unless they gave you permission. It was like opening the, you know, the holiest of holies or something. It was, you know, like going behind the veil to open the teacher's desk drawer. It was like you were opening the Ark of the Covenant. You had to have special permission. And don't look at anything else in there. And we accidentally opened the wrong drawer in a hurry. And I heard the crackle of an unmistakable crackle of a candy bag. And I'm like, what? We looked down. It was our Jolly Rancher stash. It was the bag of Jolly Ranchers that she used to put in the jar. And our thought was, you mean she didn't make this come from magic? Because we just don't think about teachers doing everyday things like that. Anyway, I can't remember what we needed, but we got it and we took it back out. Didn't touch the bag of Jolly Ranchers in the desk. Nowadays, kids slap fight with their teachers. I mean, I talk like I'm from the 40s or something. I mean, this was like in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, people. Golly. I mean, we had synth for the love. Now they're like, oh, you know, it's very important for these teachers to come in and be like, kids, guess how much of the sex I had over the weekend? No, that's not what kids are wondering. And if that's what you're obsessed with as an educator, then please find a different job. Maybe like at a strip club or, you know, something that, you know, better suits, you know, your passions. They can't even keep a picture. Shut up. Now everyone's like, they can't even say it. There are no gay people in Miami now. I just feel like these people have never been there.
Did you see Twitter had fact checked her? And so the fact checked is out there on the post where she is saying this, that they can't have pictures of her spouses on death. And then the community notes is like, this is a lie. This does not exist in the bill and never has.
Yeah. I mean, they don't even say the word gay in the bill. It's about parental rights and notification. It's like saying because I'm trying to think of like a crazy, ridiculous, completely absurd argument to compare it to. And there isn't any because this is just they wrote it. It's about parental rights and they're making it about don't say gay. They can't even put have you seen the arguments keep getting bigger and bigger? They can't even put pictures of their gay spouses on their gay desks. It's crazy. And their gay frames. They just can't even do that. They can't even breathe air. They have to hold their breath the entire time they're in Florida. It's crazy. I mean, that's the level that it's getting to. I don't know. But you're right. This is about eliminating individualism. If you reduce people to just the women or the gays or the Asians or whatever, you reduce individuality to just being nothing but a box to check for demographics. That is the point. They want to reduce everyone to one block. Good heavens. I got a couple other things to hit. So you have Joe Biden betraying Joe Manchin. Oh, golly. It says, I saw this headline. It says, Democrats are purging the party of moderates again. I'm adding the again part because they've already done this once. They said that Joe Manchin saved part of President Biden's agenda, blah, 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 spending bill, blah, blah, blah. And they're talking about the, you know, some of the stuff that Joe Manchin had wanted as it related to energy, etc. I don't think that you can say they're purging the party of moderates because there really are no moderates left. Manchin just knows how to play the game. And I'm not going to call someone who knows how to play the game a moderate. He just knows how to play the game. If he was in New Jersey, guys, his record would look like a New Jersey senator. He's in West Virginia. He knows who butters his bread. And so he's a strategist. Doesn't necessarily make him a moderate. That just makes him smarter than the average Democrat bear. So they're talking about the permitting rules for domestic energy production. And everyone's like, oh, Biden betrayed him. You know, Democrats are. I don't know. I think Manchin knew it all along and he expected this going into it. I think it's just something that he expected. He just knew that this is how it's going to be. It was going to happen. It's not as crazy as, say, what I've seen happening on the GOP side.
We can't just throw plastic away and think that's
okay. Which is just frustrating. We're going to talk about that more coming up next hour. But I've seen slap fights break out over the abortion thing. Remember how I was telling you the media is priming people to take the bait that, oh, no, you can't have this position on abortion. It goes too far. Right. And there are a number of Republicans who think that history and activism started the day they were born who are playing into this. And they're trying to encourage other people to go along with it as well. And at least one of the Republican primary contenders is now going along with it. I think it was the Susan B. Anthony list that got involved. It's a pro-life organization. They've gotten involved with us now, and they're hopping mad. When Republicans start walking away from issues that are long-standing pillars of the party or really ideological platform, that's going to be a problem. You're going to run more people away, especially when you look at the average American. The average American does not want abortion on demand up till birth. Paid for by the taxpayer. They don't want that. That's what Democrats have literally repeatedly proposed bills for, and they weren't able to get the last one out of committee. That's when Raphael Warnock co-sponsored that one. And that's literally what it was about. I read it. I've read all of them. So Republicans are setting themselves up for a disaster if they keep playing this game. They keep taking the media's bait. And I just want to jump off my roof and break my legs down to nubbins. It's ridiculous to watch this happen. We're going to talk about this a little bit because there's mistakes being made. And then more on this Hunter Biden laptop scandal that the media ignored. Because now you have Merrick Garland implicated in it, in addition to Antony Blinken, in addition to the former deputy CIA director. This is insanity, but the truth is coming out. And is it coming out? Why? In anticipation, notice the timing, right ahead of Biden announcing. This is a Democrat move. It's a Democrat oppo war. We're going to talk about this. If you have not changed the way that you buy meat yet, you should make the switch to Good Ranchers today. When you subscribe, Good Ranchers will give you 1.5 pounds of free bacon in every box for a year. That's a $240 value. And this bacon tastes so good because Good Ranchers pigs are never crated and they never use antibiotics or added hormones. And they have heritage breeds that have historically produced the best pork in the world. Subscribe today and get their price lock guarantee. What you pay today will be what you pay a year from now. With Good Ranchers, I consistently get the same quantity and quality of meat every single time. They're all natural burgers, USDA prime steaks, and better than organic chicken have changed my standard for great meat, and it will change yours too. Visit goodranchers.com and use code Dana for $20 off your next box. Get free bacon, great meat, a secure price, and a bonus of $20 off today at goodranchers.com with code Dana when you subscribe. Goodranchers.com, code Dana. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Don't hear no, because you know my saying? I eat no for breakfast.
We like that. Yes. Is his name No? The way she looked at him was kind of scary.
You look hungry.
Dang. I eat no for breakfast. I mean, I'm having an Adam Sandler moment, a Happy Gilmore moment. You eat for breakfast? Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash here. What show was she on? What show was she on? She was on somebody's show. I don't know who. I don't watch any of that stuff.
Is that the Wendy Williams replacement?
No, it can't be. Jennifer Hudson?
I don't know.
Did she replace Wendy?
I think Wendy Williams is gone. I haven't seen daytime TV, and I can't tell you how long.
I don't even know what's on anymore. Do they still have what my grandma called the stories on?
I don't know.
Y'all know what I'm talking about? The stories. Yeah. It was, what's his name? Stefano on Days of Our Lives. Yeah. That damn Stefano. I mean, he to that community of Salem on Days of Our Lives was like to the Russian, what the Russians are to Democrats here. Like what they say, he's like, Stefano was involved in everything. That's all I know. She watched that. And then the one who was so stupid. What was the title? Oh, the Bold and the Beautiful. So they were bold and also beautiful. I love it. So I don't know what's on in the afternoons. I don't know what she... So, Steve, you're telling me that it was Jennifer Hudson's show?
Yes. She has a new show. It's literally called J-HUD. And I think they replaced... I think you're right. It replaced Wendy's time slot. I don't know what channel they're on, but...
I cannot abide that. I mean, no offense to J-HUD or anything, but Wendy Williams was the OG.
J-HUD.
I mean, Wendy Williams. Give the two W's. I mean, that just sounds nice. I'm just saying. Golly, that was the first TV I ever did. I'm gonna drop a picture in Slack because
you were on her show in the era where she would take a lighter and heat up Slim Jims live on TV.
That's amazing.
That's good stuff. Great TV.
Just to cook them?
Yeah.
Just warm them up, make them taste better.
Really?
That's what she said.
I didn't even know.
I never tried it, but she took.
Now
a lighter,
I'm going to.
And she would warm up a Slim Jim with a lighter.
That is actually, that's a life hack. She's living in 2040, and we're all like, you know, here in the past. What in the world? Oh, my gosh. All right. So she also said, Kamala Harris, I don't know if we got time for this. She also said she was going to, one day she's going to write a cookbook. Is it going to be full of recipes on No? This is Audio Soundbite 7, if we have time.
And I actually, it is part of my, one day I'm going to write a cookbook, but I do, I've started to actually write my recipes because the kids, my husband will always say, why don't you write down your recipes?
Yeah.
And I've realized I probably should start doing that. The family the joke is that if somebody asks me for the recipe, I'll just say, well, it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Okay. Yeah.
J-Hud's like, that's weird. Like, what in the world? She acts like that's a new thing, you know, and I have this pattern of cooking for certain meals, and I thought about writing it down. No one has ever thought of that. Yes, I should do that. What is the point of this conversation? And, yes, I thought I should write down some recipe. Are they going to be of no? You said that you eat no for breakfast. So is it a bunch of recipes with no? What is that cooked on?
I thought that was the kids. I thought that was the kid's name.
Oh yeah, that's true. The way she looked at him was scary. I felt like I needed to intervene on his behalf. All right, we got a lot more on the way. The stupid slap fighting on the GOP side. Why we got to not take this bait? We got some wokery, and also how many people in the administration are implicated in this laptop thing? Stay tuned.
Question is, an IRS special agent wants whistleblower protection. Talk about an investigation of Hunter Biden's taxes. What is the White House's message to employees who wonder if there should be political considerations when things affect the president's family?
So look, I want to be very clear here. As you know, the president respects the rule of law and the independence of the Department of Justice. He believes that's what they should be. In this administration, we believe that it should be independent. So I'm not going to go beyond that. The Department of Justice will certainly deal with this issue. Again, he believes in the rule of law. He believes in the independence of the Justice Department.
Does he, though? Because I feel like that's not true. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Happy Friday, top of our second hour, ladies and gentlemen. And you can listen across the country, station near you. You can also stream the program, watch the simulcast as well, Facebook and YouTube, where there's always a discussion, and Channel 347 on DirecTV. So the latest with this, every single time I think that I've read the latest development, it's like the OxyClean dude. But wait, there's more. So you have a former CIA official. He's not just any official. He's the deputy director of the CIA, was Mike Morrell. Said that he signed on to this letter saying that the Hunter Biden laptop thing was fake news because basically Antony Blinken told him to. So he's throwing Blinken entirely under the bus, throwing him under the bus totally. And then for that, as a reward, he got the, Secretary of State job. So Mike Morrell was acting CIA director for a number of months. And he was asked by the Biden campaign to help recruit other intel chiefs and then to put together this. It was like 51 signatories to discredit the reporting of the contents on Hunter Biden's laptop. And this was the one because there were two. I know, it's so confusing. It was left in a Delaware repair store. Remember that one? That's the one that and then Hunter Biden tried to file suit and all of this stuff. So he left it there and then all of the stuff came out because he left it there for an inordinate amount of time. And that's, he signed a contract basically saying if he doesn't pick up his property, then it becomes the property of the shop. So Morrell was testifying before the Select Committee on Intelligence. Jim Jordan is going to be joining us. They wrote to Blinken requesting communications with Morrell about this laptop. And they've also demanded information from the administration. Whether or not they're going to get it, I don't know. Now, this happened. You have Mike Morrell who comes out. There's so much. You have Mike Morrell who comes out. And all of this is, the timing is so interesting because Joe Biden is expected to announce that he's running for office on Tuesday. Apparently it's going to be by video. He's going to be announcing his run for office. And all of this comes out right before it. I think that this is a oppo job on the left, but it also benefits us too. I just got to be real. So they said that the campaign played an active role in the origins of the public statement that had an effect in helping to suppress the Hunter Biden story and preventing American citizens from making a fully informed decision. That was the letter to Blinken from the judiciary, the House Oversight And Jim Jordan's asked, why did you want to help the vice president? And Mike Morrell said, because I wanted him to win the election. That's what he told Jim Jordan. Because I wanted him to win the election. Wow. Yeah. And remember, the contents, this is a verified laptop. Everyone from the New York Times to the Washington Post have verified it. Now, before you get all excited and think that they've discovered a soul, they just don't like Biden and they want him out. That's what this is about. I think the Democrats are trying to choose our Republican nominee, and then I think they're going to do a switcheroo with theirs. Calling it now. Calling it now. That's what because that's what all of this is. Because this is the timing of this is too sus. And the fact that all the media is reporting on it now, the media is reporting on it now because they don't have anything to lose by going against Biden. And they know it. So in addition to, there's more and more and more. You have on top of this, now you have Merrick Garland involved too, New York Post. So he's apparently in the IRS whistleblower claim. He is the unnamed official whose sworn testimony before Congress is now being challenged. So there was a letter from the IRS's whistleblower attorney. Because there was the Post and NBC was writing how there's a cover up in this criminal investigation. Apparently, they submitted their case a year ago and no charges have been brought yet. And the suspected charges have to do with misdemeanor tax offenses and then a potential felony offense for his firearm purchase. And so the attorney for the whistleblower said that the longtime IRS employee wants to provide information to congressional leaders to contradict sworn testimony to Congress by a senior political appointee, and that's Merrick Garland, and detail the preferential treatment in the criminal probe of Hunter Biden. And the whistleblower made a number of disclosures already to the IGs of the Treasury and Justice Departments. He has to have congressional approval to fully describe, the New York Post says, his allegations to his own lawyers, which he says he wants to do before he testifies before lawmakers. Now, Garland repeatedly claimed under oath that it was that Delaware U.S. Attorney David Weiss, who's a Trump administration holdover, that 2017, I think, is when he came in, that he was able to criminally charge Hunter Biden without the permission of other Justice Department leaders. But he told this was in April of 2022, talking to the Senate. He said there will not be interference or any political or improper kind in the investigation. However, that is not what this whistleblower is alleging. Further, they're saying that, and it's not just them, NBC is reporting on this too. They're saying that they've been dragging their feet on this the entire time because of who Hunter Biden is. So you have Merrick Garland implicated in one. You have all of these intel officials who signed this letter to try to undermine the very actual real claim against the Bidens based on the contents of this laptop, which were all verified. They tried to say it was Russian disinformation. They tried to do all of this. Just, it's unbelievable. And the press is only writing about it because they're trying to prepare for Newsom. By the way, speaking of Gavin Newsom, he's not having a great time. Audio soundbite 4. He had some issues with a heckler at an event. Listen to this.
Gavin, tell me what you're going to do about the fentanyl epidemic. Please, my name is J.J. Smith.
What should I do,
and I
want to
know,
what do you want?
What you going to do about the fentanyl epidemic?
Tell me what we need to do.
Oh, for the love.
That's why I'm here.
You tell me what I need to do.
To be told.
I need to be told what to do. What do you need me to do? I need to be told. Why is he trying to talk like Sugar Bear? Got some delicious cereal I'd like to sell you. Do you like some more cinnamon with that? Jiminy Christmas, this guy, Gavin Newsom. Democrats are trying, they want him. And that's what I think all this oppo is from. I think it's from this. Now, I'm telling you something that, because I see a lot of the slap fighting on this as well. And this is just killing me. Why does our side do this? Why do we do this stuff? I know you guys seen some of the stuff I'm talking about. So I've seen, I don't know who's advising the Trump camp. I mean, how do you have, you know, a great economic record, you know, and you did some amazing things, and then you're trying to diminish it? Because I think he's getting some bad advice. And I know some of the people around him, so I can say that he is getting some bad advice. So he is now in a fight with the Susan B. Anthony Foundation. They blasted him. SBA Pro-Life America. So he gave an interview with the Washington Post, because I told you, let me set this up. The press has been trying, and I told you this, and it's not just really, it's not a DeSantis thing, because there are other governors that have done this. But I think that Trump is being told, or maybe he made this decision, I don't know, to make it super personal and only focus on DeSantis. Because you've had a number of red state legislators and governors that have made this move towards life and limiting abortion, etc. Because Democrats have been pushing for taxpayer-funded abortion, taxpayer-funded on demand. And beyond the 15 weeks that I think it's like 60-something percent of Americans are, you know, the Democrats are far to the left of average everyday Americans on this. And so Trump was giving an interview to the Washington Post. And he was talking to them, and they were asking him about abortion. And, you know, what he, because I guess they're trying to further the divide between, I think, you know, conservatives and Republicans and moderates and whatever. They're trying to destroy the big tent. So in this piece from the Washington Post, they were asking him about this, and he had said that he was committed to no federal role on the issue of abortion. Now, let me break this down. This is the Washington Post piece. It says abortion divides 2024 candidates, confounds many within the GOP. I want to go back to Wisconsin real quick. Remember the Supreme Court battle in Wisconsin and how everyone, the left, was saying, oh, this happened, this had to do with abortion, et cetera, and Ronna McDaniel got involved, and there was this big fight over messaging. So the left has taken that. They ignored the fact that it was a can I just say, because I got friends on the ground in Wisconsin, they were like, it was a bad candidate, and it was a bad campaign. And it was a candidate that, you know, I think you had Trump and this candidate that ended up not getting along and towards the end, and it ended up being ridiculous. And then you didn't have a lot of electioneering from the national party, and that's what ended up actually being the cause of it. But that aside, the left seized on it, and they're using it as a way to divide the right and try to get the right to run away from abortion and make them look extreme on it, right? So you have Trump, who's talking to the Washington Post on this, and they were asking his campaign, you know, what do you think about the 6-week ban in Florida? You know, what policies would you support? And Trump, he didn't want to address the question. He said that the issue should be left up to the states. Actually, it was them talking to people in his campaign. And he has said this before. He talked about this publicly before, and he goes back and says states' rights. One of the campaign spokespeople said, quote, that the president believes that the Supreme Court, led by the three justices which he supported, got it right when they ruled that this is an issue that should be decided at the state level. So there, I'm going to explain both sides of this so that you can understand where SBA is coming from, and then how this response is not the same thing that I have been talking about when I say that Republicans have to modify messaging. We're not modifying position. We're modifying messaging. And we're going to break this down, because this is going to continue being a problem. The media has identified it as being a weak spot for the Republican Party, and the Republican Party has no idea how to handle it. So we're going to talk about it coming up. We also have Jim Jordan, who's going to be joining us later on in the program, about all of this stuff related to this whistleblower.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, so apparently scientists have identified a mind-body nexus in the human brain. What? The relationship between the human mind and the body has been a subject. Why is this a thing? They said that researchers said Wednesday they discovered that parts of the brain region called the motor cortex that govern body movement are connected with a network involved in thinking, planning, pain, etc., etc., etc. Duh. What? Really? This is moving on. I'm really cynical today. This is what really has me just mad though. So there's two different pieces on this that I read. We talked about this yesterday. Fun size. It says that snacks are getting tiny because they're looking for a fresh angle to snacks. No, it's because people are broke. It's because everybody is broke. They can't afford nothing. Companies can't be packaging anything. Shipping's expensive. Materials are expensive. They're making your snacks tiny. Am I looking at a Twinkie or a little ball of cake? I don't even know anymore. But they're talking about bite-sized food, mashed potato puffs. Everything's getting small. There's no such thing as fun size. That is a lie. It's lying to you. It is a snack that's trying to get you to think that it's funner because it's tinier, and that is a lie. It's un-American. There you go. Now we're all mad. This is a people story. A dead body apparently saved a hearse driver who crashed and was left teetering on a snowy Colorado cliff. The driver said the weight of the body he was transporting for organ donation kept his vehicle from going into a canyon. I don't know what to think of this.
Saving life after death.
Right? It's the Hubbard & Sons Funeral Home Service. He said he was run off the road by a red Dodge Durango as they approached the Eisenhower Tunnel. This sounds like a horror film. He said, they literally bounced me all the way over to the cliff, and I was teetering. And when I opened my eyes, he said there was smoke everywhere, but it was the dead body that kept it countered. Wow. All right, coming up, Jim Jordan on all of these whistleblower stories next. Don't miss.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plant. They have said that this has all the characteristics. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage.
This is classic Trump. We have 4 days left, and all of a sudden, there's a laptop. There's overwhelming evidence that from the intelligence community that the Russians are engaged.
I still think that the stories from the fall about your son, Hunter, were Russian disinformation and a smear campaign, like you said.
Oof. Yes.
It's the last-ditch effort in this desperate campaign to smear me and my family. The vast majority of the intelligence people have come out and said there's no basis at all.
Ooh, but that is not the truth, is it? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this second hour. That's not the truth, is it? Joining us right now, Congressman Jim Jordan from Ohio's 4th District. And you know Congressman Jordan is the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. He's on the House Oversight Committee, Weaponization of Government Committee. And he's been digging for answers and coming up with some really interesting things. Congressman, always a pleasure to have you on. So the way that we're seeing it from what your committee has released is you have all these, you know, the signatories of that letter that said, oh, all of this was just Russian disinformation. And they were falsely accusing everyone reporting on this laptop of being basically, you know, Russian propagandists circulating Russian disinfo. But now we're learning that it was actually organized by a former CIA, not just a regular CIA official, the former acting director of the CIA, deputy director of the CIA, at the request of Joe Biden's campaign to help him win the election.
Yeah, not only was the information not accurate, when Joe Biden presented it in that debate, that all-important debate, October 22nd, 2020, when he presented it as if it was organic, as if it just sprung up and these guys on their own initiative all put this together and wanted to do it, when in fact it was prompted by then campaign advisor, now Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, who called Mike Morrell, contacted Mike Morrell and said, what do you think about this? Got Morrell working on this. Morrell researches it, gets the people, the other 50 people to sign it. And then the kicker was Biden used it in the debate. When we deposed Mike Morrell, by the way, Dana, when we deposed him, we asked him, why'd you do it? He says, we wanted Biden to win. We want him to have something to use during the debate because we thought President Trump would bring it up. Well, of course he was going to bring it up. It was a huge story. And that's why they did it. And then after the debate, when Joe Biden uses it, guess what happens? Steve Ricchetti, campaign chairman of the Biden campaign, gets on the phone with Mike Morrell and thanks him for what was put together and what Joe Biden was able to use during that debate. All
that
political.
Is unbelievable. And as we know, I mean, the contents of this laptop have been verified, and they've been verified even by the Washington Post and the New York Times and everyone else. So they've said before that they knew that this was real and they signed the letter anyway.
Yeah, they still thought they were. I mean, to Morrell, when we had the deposition, he thought he still believes and thought then it was the Russians were somehow involved. And they put it together, but it was done solely because they wanted Biden to be able to use it. They wanted Joe Biden to win the election. And we know now from polling data that this letter was used as the way to further suppress the story, and social media wouldn't let you share it, wouldn't let you like it, wouldn't let you send it around. They blocked out the New York Post altogether. And we know from polling that people said if we were able to get access to that story, if that would have been actually a bigger part of the campaign, it may have changed the outcome of the election. So that was the real kicker there, is what they did. By this letter was the final stamp in this process of suppressing the whole New York Post story about the Biden laptop.
Wow. We're talking with Congressman Jim Jordan about these bombshells that have been coming out from their investigation into this whole story. Now, am I correct in reading that Morrell was trying to throw Antony Blinken under the bus for this?
No, he was just telling us the facts. I mean, you know, when you come in for a transcribed interview in Congress, you're under oath. You have to tell the truth. And Mike Morrell told us the truth. He was straight up about this when we talked to him, as we convey in our letter. And he said it was prompted. He was contacted by that same day on the 17th. So the story comes out on the 14th of October, 2020. 17th is when Blinken first contacts Morrell. Later that same day on the 17th, Antony Blinken sends him a news story about this, a USA Today story about this issue. And all that gets Morrell, as I said, on the 18th and 19th, putting this together. The 19th is when the statement goes public. Mm. And it goes public again, Dana, with everyone's title associated with their name. So as you pointed out, it's you know, former director of CIA, former director of ODNI, all former worked in CIA on the Eurasian and the Russian. It puts all their, and it gives it this weight as if, oh, this has to be true, when in fact it wasn't, and it was coordinated with the Biden campaign. In fact, Morrell was even instructed by the Biden campaign, here's the journalist we'd like you to first give this information and give the statement to. Like, it was a total political operation.
And then we have the New York Post story, how AG Merrick Garland is the, because there's this story with Mike Morrell and this testimony. And then we have this IRS whistleblower where he's been outed as the senior Biden official on this Hunter Biden IRS whistleblower came. The timing of this is kind of interesting, too, because they went right to you all. This whistleblower did follow the path and, you know, follow the proper protocol, went to you all to blow the whistle on this. It's very interesting timing. Tell us about this. Why do you think now?
Well, I do think it's interesting that they did the letter, and I would think, and they approached it this way. I think this is probably because one of the things we're getting feedback from other folks in the government who've come to us and talked to us as whistleblowers is they feel like they're being retaliated against. And I think now when you do a letter like this to various ranking members and chairmen in the Congress, I think that shows, like, okay, this guy wants to make sure he's not going to get retaliated against and the facts and the truth get out there. So we plan on looking at this along with the Ways and Means Committee in the House and making sure we get all the information from this guy, another brave whistleblower willing to come forward and talk about how our government hasn't been operating in the way it's supposed to.
The NBC, talking with Congressman Jim Jordan, NBC had a report where they were saying that federal prosecutors have considered four possible charges on Hunter Biden. Apparently, this case was like submitted a year ago, but yet they haven't filed charges. And this is, you know, what you all have been alluding to when you're saying, you know, people are dragging their feet. What possibly could be the explanation as to why there have not been any charges filed in this case?
I do not know. I do not know. And again, as we all know, they've had the laptop since 2019.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't know why. We'll just have to wait and see. And we look forward to talking to the whistleblower and hearing the facts and the information he has to give to us.
Yeah, we're talking with Congressman Jim Jordan, and they had former CIA acting director, deputy CIA director as well, Mike Morrell, who was testifying and discussing his involvement with this letter, 51, I think, signatories on this.
Yep.
No apologies from any of these people who signed this letter, who were trying to dodge association, trying to separate the Biden campaign from this. I mean, this is the collusion. If there's any kind of collusion that's happening, if there's any kind of attempt to put weight on the scales of a free and fair election, it's this.
Yeah, no apologies, but they did get an attaboy from the Biden campaign.
Yeah, they did.
And on October 22nd, when just according to, I mean, it was like following the script. Let's get this letter together when it gets used in the debate, and Biden acts like it's organic and didn't have their campaign didn't have any impact on it or any influence on it. They get an attaboy from the campaign chair. So mm-hmm. it's, I guess we should have kind of figured this was what was going on. It seems like sometimes this is how the Democrats tend to operate, but,
I wanted to ask you, go ahead, Congressman. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say and the fundamental fact is it wasn't accurate. They said it has all the earmarks all the hallmarks of a Russian information operation. It wasn't. But that became the basis again for the suppression that was already underway by social media. But this was the final step, and then they kept it from the American people.
Before I ask you about Alvin Bragg, there's related to this, just because the ongoing accusations and corruptions with the Biden family and the accusations that they've been using, his elected office to enrich in his family. I mean, does that make you suspicious of, like, for instance, when he went to Ireland last week and he took his son, Hunter Biden, which I think is kind of embarrassing to take, when you're going on that a high profile of a trip like that, and his sister with him, with all the accusations of family involvement in, the Biden family business, does that make you suspicious?
I don't know. What I do know is what Chairman Comer is digging into. I do know that there are, just this unbelievable number of suspicious activity reports that our Treasury Department has filed about the Biden family banking operations and these LLCs and their business operations. And I always tell people, they're called suspicious activity reports for a reason. And there are literally hundreds of them, it appears now. So, Mr. Comer and the Oversight Committee are going to dig into this and get the facts out there. I do think it makes you wonder about certain things and certain actions you see, but I always wait to make sure that we, let's get the facts and the truth before we make any real allegations.
Right. All right. And of course, Congressman, you had subpoenaed the ex-assistant district attorney, Mark Pomerantz, to give testimony uh-huh. about Alvin Bragg's investigation into former President Trump. And, of course, we had that whole indictment theater just last month. So Bragg was trying to sue you, and he filed suit against you in the Judiciary Committee, saying that it was overreach, but he got slammed down. A judge said that it was a valid legislative purpose and that it was not the role. They were saying that the subpoena was issued with valid purpose, and basically Bragg was in the wrong. Pomerantz has to appear for this congressional deposition. Tell me about this, because, I mean, it's finally good to see at least some judge rein in some of these activist DAs.
Well, I think you characterize it accurately, Dana. And if you get a chance to read this opinion and this decision from the court, it couldn't have been stronger in our favor.
Oh, yeah.
So we do expect Mr. Pomerantz to sit for a deposition sometime in the very, very near future. We are coordinating how that will work out with his counsel, but we expect that to happen. And we got a number of questions that we want to ask. Some of those questions I think relate to, what kind of interaction may have existed between the DA's office and the Justice Department, the Biden Justice Department, the Biden White House, mm-hmm. Biden administration. We don't know. But we want to, and then there's a whole book that Mr. Pomerantz has written. He left a year ago. He's now written a book. We want to get into some of the comments he made in the book. And the judge was very clear. The court was very clear that is totally fair game and within our area to ask about.
That blows my mind. I have to add that you basically tell on yourself in a book after that is completely fair game for this. I mean, that's a cell phone that, you couldn't make up. Congressman Jim Jordan, we really appreciate everything that you're doing in the House. I mean, you are the perfect person for this time and this mission. And you've been doing a really good job at pursuing answers that we've been waiting for a long time. So we appreciate that. Thank you so much for giving us some
time
today.
Thanks for all you do. Take care.
Of course,
thank you.
Appreciate it. You too. Congressman Jim Jordan from the beautiful state of Ohio. And we're going to wait and see how all of this develops, because the answers are finally coming. It's amazing how much you can uncover when you have people who are actually dedicated to the pursuit of truth, right?
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Man, it's a weird day when I have to put a story in Slack and be like, Kane, is this real? Is this Florida Man story real? I don't know. Is that real?
It looks to be.
Okay, let me start with this, and then we're going to get to this lady. I mean, we think it's real. It's just one of those stories that's so nuts. I don't know. Oh my gosh. Okay, so, huh?
It seems to be real.
So apparently it was in Daytona Beach. This guy was arrested after burning down his own house because of he was worried about vampires. Daytona Beach said that his wife, Melvin Weaver, he's 64, sought to have him committed for mental health reasons. But when police arrived, he was acting irrationally. Police determined that he could not be involuntarily committed. He was acting rationally. They said, we can't Baker act him because he seems that he's acting in a rational manner. That was at 2 p.m. Okay. But by 7 p.m., and I don't know why it shows a Champs store burning down on the simulcast. But see, that's what makes me, you know, I'm like, he doesn't live in a Champs. They said by 7 p.m. he was angry, and then the police had to come back, and he told police the vampires are going to defend themselves, according to the arrest report. He set fire to the home by throwing ceiling insulation onto the stove. His wife escaped unharmed, and then he grabbed a kitchen knife and began knocking on neighbors' doors, saying that his house was on fire. He was arrested at the scene. The house is totally destroyed. I mean, it's so insane, you have to go, wait a minute. But I'm telling you. That may be, okay, so remember how I was saying that sometimes Florida man makes everything else seem sane, except for that story. That one doesn't. Where do you go to the dentist, Kane? Like, where's your dentist office located?
It's about 4 miles from where I live.
Okay, not so it's like far. in a professional place.
Yeah, it's in a little,
okay, yeah. Not like in a La Quinta?
No, it's not in a hotel.
Okay, no, you mean a motel?
Sorry about that, yes, motel.
So apparently, a Florida man was getting a La Quinta Inn and Suites room in Connecticut, and pretending to be a dentist. Yeah. Uh-huh. And when police arrived, he told them he was conducting dental referrals, but they legit found a quote-unquote patient in the bathroom. The patient had gauze in his mouth, saying that he just had a dental procedure. The individual, Hugo De Lima, is charged with practicing dentistry without a license and illegal sale of prescription drugs. He's being held on a $350,000 bond. What in the world? And a Miami woman tries to run over her ex, gets shot at, and then sets her car on fire. World star. Miami-Dade, a woman in Miami from Little Havana is facing a series of felony charges. She stole a pressure washer and then burned a Mazda in a farm field. Yves Alberto, 27, started in Palmetto Estates. She went to her ex-boyfriend's house, dragged a pressure washer belonging to a second victim. They called police. Then she drove her vehicle away at a high rate of speed. Her ex took out a gun, began firing at her. Then she hit a Toyota Corolla, pressure washed somebody's car. I mean, this is nuts. It was like a four-hour bender, and they finally arrested her. Dang. Stay with us. We got our third hour coming up.
Other states are waging kind of wars against different, you know, parts of their population. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of politicians just want to pick fights and get headlines, and whether it's picking a fight with Mickey Mouse or moving backwards to the, you know, early 1900s, it's so much easier to show up and to listen to people and know what really matters. So we're trying to make Michigan a place where every business can thrive and every person has rights and freedoms to make their own decisions and to live the life they want and be successful here in Michigan.
Who's saying that you can't do that? We're just saying you don't have to do it by shaking your junk in front of kids. I mean, you know, it's kind of a big difference there, Big Gretch. Welcome back to the program, top of our third hour. Dana Lash here with you, your lovable curmudgeon. I hate everybody equally. Not you guys, though. Let's, you know, everybody who's like in a thing that rhymes with the Schmelt way. That we've covered a lot. We got our discussion with Jim Jordan. It's going to be up on YouTube. So make sure you go check that out as well. And very insightful. They're uncovering a lot of stuff. You know, Democrats hate him in that position. You know they do. Oh, they're not happy. They're not happy at all. But it's good for us. It's good for truth. I mean, honestly, just, you know, to be just forthright about it. All right. A couple of things that we got to address. Oh, it's killing my soul. I don't want to have to talk about that, but I want to play off of what Big Gretch just said here, because it's weird to see this. I gotta be honest. It's weird to see some of this stuff. So you have she's the reason that I wanted to play that specifically is because she's Big Gretch is out there running with this narrative that I see, and I told you that the left was running. They're trying to scare Republicans away from, you know, issues that are important to voters, like you could say cultural issues, I guess, like parents' rights, et cetera, et cetera. And I think Republicans are terrified of this. I had this conversation before on with you, with we all had this on the program, and talking about messaging on abortion. Because, you know, obviously, and I don't think anyone is, no, the only people that are saying that they're going to try to take a Georgia or a Florida model and push that in Wisconsin are members of the flaccid right and the left, like Big Gretch. Those are the only people saying that. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that what works in Florida doesn't work in states like Wisconsin or California, and what works in California and Wisconsin doesn't work in states like Georgia and Florida, right? I mean, I think this is pretty obvious, particularly as it relates to messaging on abortion. And my thought has always been, well, where do the majority of Americans fall? If, especially if this is a discussion about saving rights, because you don't want to run people off from the issue by looking as though you're not giving them an illusion of compromise. You got to start where the average American falls. 15 weeks beyond that, the average American thinks it's too extreme. And they are completely out of step with the Democrat Party that thinks it should be all the way up until birth and taxpayer funded. I'm not making this up. This is the repeat legislation that they have sponsored even as recently as 15 months ago, where they all had their names on it. Raphael Warnock was getting a lot of criticism during his campaign over it. They all, that's what they support. That's what they go for. They think it's taxpayer funded on demand. That's what it should be. So that's, I mean, obviously, I think that's kind of the messaging that Republicans should have going forward on this. Because Georgia and Florida can do things that states like California, Michigan, and Wisconsin can't. And some of the messages in those states wouldn't work in Georgia and Florida. But what I don't like to see are Big Gretch and people like Kellyanne Conway saying the same thing. So Big Gretch is out there saying, oh, well, we're, you know, the Republicans are spending all this time fighting culture war, et cetera, et cetera. And you have people like Kellyanne Conway who's saying the same. She said the same thing. She said that. But it's interesting. She's not talking about any of the other Republicans that are doing this. She's not mentioning the common ground that has been established. She's trying to find a way to put a division between Trump and DeSantis, whom they've identified as his, as, I mean, they're going after DeSantis more than they're going after Gavin Newsom and Joe Biden. And she's saying that, oh, well, you know, DeSantis, and by way of DeSantis, I'm going to interpret this as meaning other Republicans, are spending way too much time on culture wars. And this sort of reinforces everything the left has said, where they say, don't say gay. I'm going to tell you something. Positioning Trump to run to the left of some of these Republican governors is not the strategy that you want to take. Making him run to the left of DeSantis or other people, that's not the strategy that you really want. But that's what this is. They're saying that, oh, well, this is, you know, we need to spend less time on these culture wars. That, and like I said, that reinforces everything the left says about the don't say gay and all this other stuff. The reason that we're in this position is because conservatives didn't, and Republicans did not want to fight culture wars. They wanted to stay out of it. I mean, I know this because this was the big thing that I fought with Republicans about for so long. I literally got into shouting matches at CPAC with Republicans in the hallways. They thought that I was, you know, oh, well, you're wanting to get politics is downstream from culture. Anyone who tells you otherwise has no business advising anybody in politics. Everything that ends up becoming policy starts culturally first. You don't think so? Look at CRT. Look at DEI. Look at the drag queen, all ages, sex and school stuff. Look at all of it. It all starts as a cultural issue because all policy begins. The germination is culture. This is basic 101 for people who are actually clued in. And I'm just, it's weird to me. There are some who've said, you know, well, Trump gave that interview to Tucker Carlson where he was, you know, praising Newsom. And, you know, I don't know if I necessarily include that. I think that was a soundbite. I also think that he criticized him as well. But I mean, I know he has beef with Brian Kemp, but he was going at Brian Kemp at the expense of Republicans winning in Georgia, and actually said that, you know, Stacey Abrams might be, I mean, I have the video of it. He said she might be better than having your existing governor. The reason that I'm pointing this out is because I don't like to see people who have done some good things, like, shoot themselves in the foot with bad strategy. I am so competitive against Democrats that I don't want it to look like we don't have a number of people who aren't really good contenders. And we're actually hurting ourselves by running stupid primaries. I'm all for candidates like duking it out, but don't be stupid about it. I mean, good grief. Don't see who can run to the further left of, you know, of a candidate that you think might be the biggest challenge. That is not the way to do it. Trump should be trying to out conservative Ron DeSantis, not running to the left of him. And this abortion thing is part of this. Students for Life they're livid. Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life is livid. LifeSite News is livid. The pro-life movement is dropping bombs right now. SBA Pro-Life, because this is all about, they're accusing Trump of walking away from pro-life. Because he had said, now let me put this in context. He was talking about how there was a Washington Post piece. They reached out to his campaign and his campaign responded and said that, you know, they believe that, he believes that, you know, that, as the Supreme Court said, that this is a state's rights issue for life. Now, I understand what he's saying, because that was the argument that a lot of people were making against Lindsey Graham, who, after the Supreme Court made that decision, Lindsey Graham decided to try to snatch, you know, defeat from the jaws of victory. And he wanted to make like a federal law about abortion before the ink had even dried on this decision. And everyone was saying this was right before a midterm election. Slow your roll for a second. But there's a difference in saying that something's right before a midterm election and also let's revisit this when it's a little bit more convenient for us electorally. Right. So here's the issue. All of this is predicated upon a perceived constitutional right to abortion as birth control. Right. That's what this is abortion as birth control. And that's what Roe v. Wade was arguing, is that there was a constitutional right to this when there wasn't. And so the argument that SBA and Students for Life and others that they are making is that, well, if you're going to try to pass this off because you're afraid to address the issue as a state's rights issue, then what other issues pursuant to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are you going to say, oh, no, that's a state's rights issue? I understand the argument totally. I also understand the fear that some Republicans have because they don't feel like they can message adequately. But the solution to that isn't to run away from the fight. The solution to that is to develop better messaging. Which is why I kind of rolled my eyes when Ronna McDaniel was out there saying, well, the reason that we lost in Wisconsin was messaging on abortion. No, that wasn't it. It was actually because you had a horrible ground game. And I mean, I have dear friends of mine who were knee deep in that. And they were saying, oh, my gosh, they gave me a list of things, none of which had to do really with messaging. The messaging was fine in states like Georgia and Florida. And the reason I bring up Florida has nothing to do with DeSantis. It has to do with the fact that you had Democrats turning out en masse voting for a Republican, and not just a Republican governor, but Republicans for statewide office across the entire state of Florida. Miami-Dade and Palm Beach County flipped to red, even as DeSantis was campaigning on having a 6-week abortion ban signed, as these other lawmakers were campaigning on it. Now, what was the difference between that and Wisconsin? Well, they have a ground game, but also if you want to drill down the messaging, it was the way that they were approaching the message. They were telling people, do you really want to pay extra in taxes for this as birth control on demand up till birth? That's the messaging. And when you play on the average American opposing it after 15 weeks and you are very honest and very forthright and say this is what you're paying for and you break it down, that resonates. So the messaging is about how to message, not to stop messaging entirely. And that's what Conway is suggesting here. And to an extension, that's what the Trump campaign is suggesting. You don't run from the fight. I mean, you can't go from he fights in 2016 and 2022, he runs from it. And that is running from the issue. And I don't want to see anyone try to out-left each other in a primary. The primary is not the time that you move to the left. I mean, I would argue that in a general, you try to make yourself seem more moderate by the way you finesse issues without compromising principle. Not during the primary. It's just wild to me to see this. And I don't want this to become a trend with Republicans to where we start walking away from these issues because we're afraid to fight them. And that ultimately is my concern here. Like with Disney, I have no idea now why people are saying that having a corporate kingdom where it was the big government's involvement with their anti-capitalist policies that gave Disney an advantage, that is not a conservative position to be in favor of that. But because it's DeSantis, there are some people who feel like the only option they have left, I guess, to run against him is to run to the left of him. And to go back on things that we had previously all agreed were pretty limited government positions. How is that to the right to argue in favor of cronyism? Exemptions for big corporations that other corporations don't receive. Anti-capitalist policies to make it more advantageous for another company. How is that to the right of an issue to be in support of that? And it's rhetorical because the answer is it's not. So this is the issue that I have with this stuff that I see. I'm like, why are we doing this? And to have Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America get involved, guys, holy cow, I can't reiterate how huge this is. I'm going to tell you, that's a fight that no politician wants to pick. You don't want the pro-life movement going to war with you. And SBA, they blasted it. They said Donald Trump's state's only position is unacceptable to pro-life. Now, I was explaining to you the messaging aspect. They look at it as if you can try to sidestep addressing this issue by brushing it off as states' rights, well, what else then can be? They look at the right to exist as a natural right. Therefore, they argue that any kind of states' rights, it's like an infringement on Second Amendment. Look at it like that. If Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, is a natural right, then you can argue that states that seek to infringe upon that are infringing upon a natural right. And that has been a really contested argument. Some like to say erroneously that Scalia was pointing that out when he was discussing Heller. But what they forget, what they omit, is that it was in the context of not commonly owned firearms like head axes, etc., in the context of a frighting and brandishing. I drilled that down and I've written about it endlessly. So they make a very good point here. That's something to keep in mind, because this is a fight that's blowing up right now. Man, it's just, I don't like to see unenforced errors, guys. I don't. We got to get moving. We got more coming. Don't worry.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
My track selection came there? Yeah, all right. That's all right. Northern Railway urges passengers to stop watching porn and not safe for work content aboard their trains. I mean, Dennis Prager would say it's okay. Northern Railway, I'll explain. Northern Railway has urged passengers to stop watching porn and other content like that aboard their trains. They said it's weird, not suitable for work. Knock it off. And an old NASA satellite's falling to Earth. Sadly, it's not going to hit anyone we dislike. Stick with us. Back right after this. I apologize.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
It's really very, very dull when after all these years in public life, you're known for two things: Ray-Ban sunglasses and chocolate chip ice cream. Very dull president, but.
Dull's one way to put it. Hi, guys. Welcome back. I got a whole bunch of stuff here that we still have to hit. First off, welcome back to the program. It's good to be with you. Dana Lash here. Bottom, like I said, of this third hour. So my headline thing, I had a little quick thing. I know Dennis Prager. We get along. It was the headline about the railway that's saying, don't watch pornography on the train. It's not suitable for, you know, it's stop being a weird pervert. Quit watching this stuff in public, people. They actually put out, this railway actually had to put that out. And I said, well, Prager would probably think it's okay. That's based on this story that he did this roundtable where he was talking with Jordan Peterson and some of these other scholars on this panel. And he was saying that, you know, pornography, if it's a substitute for adultery, it's not awful. And he said that a man looking with lust towards a woman is not a sin in Judaism. And that he was saying that, you know, I come from a behaviorist, law-based religion. We care how you act, etc. And he was saying that looking with lust is not a sin in his faith. And that's when Peterson had asked about pornography. And he goes, well, he goes, he said that, you know, he basically didn't condemn it. He didn't recognize it as being a substitute for, you know, adultery. Prager said men want variety. He goes, if pornography is a substitute for one's wife, it's awful. If it's a substitute for adultery, it's not awful. That's my answer. Yeah, I don't agree with that. I don't. And I was just kind of surprised to see that answer. I mean, the Bible's pretty clear, but I don't want to like turn into, you know, Sunday sermon hour, because I'm pretty old school about stuff. If you get my drift, I am very old school about things. I don't know if I ever want to have that conversation on air, because that's, you know, that gets to, some people get very sensitive about that stuff. I'm very old school. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want a woman minister. Gotcha. I told you guys, I am not a predictable person, and that's just how I look at it. I mean, it's one thing to, you know, work in, you know, with, you know, the children and do all this stuff, but I don't want to have a woman up on stage delivering the sermon. You can get upset about it, but then it's not me you're taking issue with. I'm just following New Testament. So, you know, get mad at me if you want, but your issue is with the Lord. Anyway, so I'm not going to discuss this. This is something that I don't put up for debate. You can disagree with what scripture says, and that's fine, but I'm pretty old school. I'm very old school about stuff. So that being said, I was just shocked to see this answer, because these are dudes that are older than me, and I just think that, you know, you kind of have a responsibility. You know what I'm saying? You have a responsibility to, no, I don't think so. And I have to say, I don't dislike Jordan Peterson at all. And I think that he is very authentic in his search with regards to faith. But I do caution people about people young in faith being made shepherds. There is biblical advice on that, that I think people would be well to adhere to and remember. Now, so that's what that remark was. So a couple of other things. We had that audio soundbite there of Biden. We're going to have the Jim Jordan discussion up. Apparently, this is breaking. This is in Wisconsin. Sun Prairie School, I guess, is the school. And all of the moms and dads are really raising some cane over this right now. No offense, Kane, not you. This is Sun Prairie K through 12 schools. And I'm pulling some of this stuff up. They had to release a statement or something because they had an incident. Oh, I can tell y'all are going, what incident? I can hear it. All right, get ready. Ready? So according to what has been shared by the school, and I'm looking at, I'm going to put this tweet in Slack so you guys can actually see this too, because this is just coming up. It was a serious violation of girls' privacy rights in the Sun Prairie East locker room. So long story short, what happened is that an 18-year-old biological male who identifies as a girl entered the girls' locker room and showered naked next to four minor-aged freshman girls. They were 14, he's 18. He exposed his genitals to them. The district did not contact the girls' parents. They did not contact a Title IX coordinator. They did not file the proper complaint. They did not support the girls or help them through the experience. They did not act as mandatory reporters and report the possible violation of the Wisconsin statute. And that's according to one of the mom activists there in Wisconsin. The school released a letter. The school delivered a letter to the Sun Prairie School District Board of Education. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty told the Board of Education that their attorneys have been made aware of this incident and that parents are looking to resolve this issue with the school. They said that the school district response, their district response has been inadequate. And it was Friday, March 3rd that the offense happened. They said that four freshman girls at this school participated in a swim unit as part of their first hour physical education class. After the class, the girls entered their locker room to shower and change for class. When they entered, they noticed a senior male student in the area. He was 18 years old at the time. They said that according to the girls, the student was not in the first hour PE class in which they were in. They were surprised to see him in the locker room. They had a general idea that he identified as transgender and has used girls' bathrooms before. They were uncomfortable, but they had to shower and go to class. They went to the shower area, but they went with their swimsuits on. And as the as they began to shower, the male student approached them, entered the shower, announced, quote, "I'm trans, by the way," then undressed fully and showered completely naked right next to the girls. They said he was initially turned towards the wall, but then turned around and exposed himself to all four. They hurried up and they left the showers as quickly as possible. They were afraid to report the incident initially. And then one of the other students that had heard about it told them correctly, "You need to report this right away." And when the school was informed, instead of telling the Title IX coordinator about the alleged sexual harassment, Associate Principal Heidi Walter asked for the names of the students involved. There was no indication that anybody at the school took any kind of action. The principal admitted during a meeting with the parents that she should have dug deeper at the time. Under federal law, it should have been reported. And then the school, I mean, they should have contacted the girls. They should have, you know, all of this. They didn't do any of this, according to the complaint. This is wild. And the school, let me pull this up. So this is what the school had sent out. They said a student who is transgender, non-binary, or gender, this is a new phrase, gender expansive. What is that? There's like a new thing added every damn day to this. What is that?
You're a bigot if you don't know.
You're a bigot, Harry. It says a student who is transgender, non-binary, or gender expansive will be permitted to access the men's, women's segregated restrooms in accordance with the student's gender identity that the student regularly asserts at school and in other social environments. Any student who has a need or desire for increased privacy may be provided with access to single access restroom where the facility is reasonably available. No student shall be required to use such a restroom because of the student's transgender, non-binary, or gender expansive status. So if you want to go ahead and shower with a girl, you can just fill out one of their gender support plans. So this is actual sexual discrimination against female students at the expense of in order to better accommodate the male student who wants to identify as a female. Wow. And one question is, why are we teaching men that it's acceptable to enter a woman's space, or why women should enter a man's space? Who's telling why this is not okay? For the reasons that, I mean, clearly that we just shared. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some dads beating asses out here. That's what's going to happen. Yeah. And I'm sorry, but they're entirely justified. Actually, I'm not sorry. F.A., that's the F.O. part of F.A. Yeah. You know, cause and effect. You have a daughter, Kane. Mm-hmm. Your daughter comes home, tells you dad, and describes that happening in the shower. How would you react?
Oh, man. I'm not going to talk about this on the air.
No, but yeah, I mean, so seriously, clearly,
be just a casual conversation with authorities. First of all, that wouldn't where it would start. Maybe part of it would be that, but it certainly wouldn't end there either. No, there comes to a point when a person is pushed over the line. Look, I don't want to be that way, but you pushed me over here. Yeah. And that's just the way it goes.
Don't make me flip over tables in the temple. I'm just saying. I mean, this is wild. At the expense of these girls. So this is what parents in Wisconsin are dealing with right now at the Sun Prairie Area School District. This is what they're dealing with. It is unbelievable. And it's everywhere. At the expense of these girls. And see, if this were to happen in any other context, that would be considered, like, so that would actually be like sexual harassment. That's a, legally actionable offense.
Or indecent exposure. Yeah.
Yeah, indecent exposure. If he was out, you know, I mean, but he can say, oh, no, identify as a woman. That makes it okay. And you can't question that. Not even in the context of investigation. If you question it, you're the bigot. Girls who know that this is wrong and they feel uncomfortable, instead of being told, instead of having their fears validated, fears, by the way, which are based on decades of criminal statistics, decades of criminal statistics. And instead of being told that this is, that's completely understandable and you're right, they're told that that feeling actually is further evidence that they're bigots. This is the danger. Whew. Oh my gosh. You know, there's a reason that the good Lord did not give me girls. He didn't give me a daughter because, oh my gosh. I don't know that I would need to do anything. I mean, my girl would like probably like pull out a shiv or something. I don't know. And just like Lorena Bobbitt would be telling stories about her. I don't know. I'm just saying. Oh my gosh. I feel so like young girls today. And the thing is, girls today should not have to do that. They should not be even being expected to do that. They're innocent young ladies. Whatever happened to protecting them? Oh my gosh, we're going to get mad and we're going to start throwing stuff. Okay, it's Friday. We need to like, you know, whew, I need something silly at this point. We all do.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
And make sure you go and sign up for the newsletter, Substacks, chapter and verse, all kinds of good stuff up there. And we send stuff out all throughout the week. A couple of things. So apparently the Hunter Biden, his lawyer called the IRS whistleblower a criminal. So the guy who lied on his 4473 and snorts coke off of hookers thinks the guy that blew in the whistle on the government's ensuing cover-up is the criminal. Okay, there you go. So there's that. We also have how, where is, because this, the individual who, in Kentucky, who killed people at the bank in Kentucky, according to what's being reported, part of his goal was to show people how easy it was in America for someone with a serious mental illness to buy an assault weapon. So, as a friend of mine noted, now the anti-gun left is conducting mass shootings to further the gun control cause. Wow. We'll talk more about that next week. And then Biden has signed an order enforcing social justice credit scores. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So the ESG, he signed an executive order. The thing with executive orders is that they can be undone with an executive order. So that's one of the, I was looking at the, it's the president's executive order to revitalize our nation's commitment to environmental justice for all, except it's ESG non-sensory is what it is. And it's all about measures to address and prevent, la, la, la. And they're assigning scores. I mean, it's they made it. It's the White House Council on Environmental Quality, CEQ. And they said that they have their environmental justice scorecard. And it's the new government-wide assessment of all of these, you know, federal agencies, their efforts to advance what they call environmental justice. What is even that? Environmental justice. And then lastly, we were talking about on break how we're using glass in everything now. Because they said in plastic, there are apparently gender-bending chemicals found in food because and loaded with other toxins because of the BPA. It mimics estrogen and interferes with normal bodily processes. And it's like an endocrine disruptor. This is freaking me out. They said it's everywhere. Canned goods, food containers, bottled water. Bottled water. It's in everything. Sunglasses? Really? Okay, how do you deal with that, though? The sunglass issue. Like, how does that, how do you deal with that? I don't know. You're going to wear glass sunglasses, Kane? That sounds weird, doesn't it?
Glass sunglasses?
Yeah.
No, I probably won't. I'll probably continue with the wireframe or something.
Oh, wireframe. That's a good, yeah.
Something like that.
Canned food. I don't do canned food. The only canned food that I ever do is the sliced cranberries. Yeah. And that's the only time. I do not do canned food. I like to try to do everything as fresh and from scratch as possible. And I don't use plastic to store food. I don't ever have leftovers, though. Like, I always, like, very crazily, anally retentively try to get everything portioned out. So I don't. But the water bottles, yeah, I do that. Cans, wine and beer. I don't drink anything in plastic, so I don't know. We'll talk more about this next week. Kane, today in stupidity.
All right, it is our president of the United States. Now, there's a reason why he dropped the executive order today.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason for that, is because of this.
Under this order, environmental justice will become the responsibility of every single federal agency. I mean, every single federal agency.
All right, so every single federal agency will be under this, which means it'll touch every American life, essentially. So,
oh, boy.
Yeah, that's why it was dropped on the weekend.
Yeah, there you go, right there. When we'll be covering that on Monday as well, folks. I hope you have a great weekend. We made it through the week, right? And have a wonderful, safe weekend. We'll be back together on Monday. God bless.